DW.
Сургуульч ирсэн байна, доороо сан сүстэй хэлээрэй.
Зураг мөрөг авах.
Сургуульч ирсэн байна, гарч ирээ зураг мөрөг авах бол жорондоо зогсож байна.
Ороод ирээ хэлчихээ.
All right, be careful.
Bye-bye.
Wait.
Are you afraid? He said.
Yes.
Seventy feet down a narrow dirt shaft, a pair of hands reaches out from the black, pulls me into a curved section of tunnel, and unhooks my harness. I'm crouched in a space the size of a small closet, but one you can't stand up in. Three men use their headlamps to show me the section of rock where they've been digging. It's eerily quiet, except for the hum of a giant hose sucking air down from the surface. These are Mongolia's artisanal gold miners. Small-scale miners who, until recently, used toxic mercury to extract gold from ore. But in 2007, Mongolia shut down all centralized processing plants using mercury due to health and environmental concerns, forcing miners to find a cleaner way to get at their gold or continue mining illegally. That's when Narensok Belku stepped up.
At first, we didn't really know what we were going to do, but we knew we needed to process gold without using mercury. We were able to connect with some specialists in Switzerland who taught us about non-mercury technology, and that's how we got started.
Belku is tall and wiry with a weathered face. He's talking to me at the Borner plant, a small water processing plant for gold about 2 hours north of the country's capital. Belku was one of 32 gold miners who formed the Association of Artisanal Miners in 2007 to explore mercury-free gold extraction methods in Mongolia. And in 2009, he helped open the Borner gold processing plant, the first non-mercury facility in the country. It's a place where artisanal miners like the ones I met earlier can take their gold to be processed without using toxic mercury. But not all small-scale miners have access to a water processing plant, Belku says.
There are people who are still using mercury to process gold out of ore. In order to stop the use of mercury, we need to build more plants like this.
Globally, small-scale gold mining is one of the largest consumers of mercury in the world. Artisanal miners often rely on mercury to extract gold from ore, releasing around 1,000 tons of mercury into the air, water, and soil annually in the process. In 2013, the UN Environment Program Global Mercury Assessment found that small-scale gold mining accounted for 35% of mercury emitted into the air worldwide. And all that mercury is highly toxic to humans and the environment, even at low levels of exposure.
Of course, officially, by law, it's prohibited to use mercury. But sometimes people illegally use mercury.
That's Batjar Golzamba, advisor to Mongolia's Ministry of the Environment. He says the early boom of Mongolia's gold industry...
It's a golden rush, like it was happening many years ago in the U.S.
Back then, many small-scale miners used mercury to extract gold from their ore, and many still do. Back at the Borner processing plant, rocks make their way through the ore crusher and roller mill, and then they head to the shaking table. This is the piece of equipment that allows miners to extract gold from ore using water and gravity instead of toxic mercury. A mix of water and silt trickles across a vibrating metal table covered in ridges, separating out heavier materials in the process.
You see that speckles? Just small, tiny bit? That's the gold.
That's my translator, Baska.
So they will actually collect all the gold into these three metal boxes. And that's how they get the gold out of this dirt. It's a long process.
Long and not terribly efficient, according to environmental researcher Dr. Salim Ali.
Using just water, you might be successful with very high-grade deposits which have washed out, but you are not likely to be successful once you start to get to low-grade deposits.
Ali, a professor of energy and environmental policy at the University of Queensland in Australia, has done extensive research on mining in Mongolia. He says most large-scale gold mines in Mongolia use cyanide to extract gold from ore instead of water, because cyanide can access lower-grade gold deposits. Although it's still toxic, Ali says cyanide is actually far better for the environment than mercury.
Is not bioaccumulative, so it degrades in sunlight fairly fast, unlike mercury, which is very biopersistent and can accumulate in the food chain and convert to methyl mercury, which is toxic to humans.
And some small-scale gold miners are beginning to turn to cyanide instead of mercury, too. Since 2007, Belku, the owner of the Borner plant, has been working with members of the Sustainable Artisanal Mining Project to help educate both legal artisanal miners and illegal gold miners, called ninja miners in Mongolia, about the health risks of using mercury in their operations.
Ninja miners are people who do mining individually. They've got their massive pot on their backs, and they've got their stuff to process gold, and they look like ninja turtles, like from the cartoon.
These ninja miners often work in harsh and unsafe conditions without government approval. And many still use mercury. Belku says he's trying to change that.
Basically, they are illegal ninja miners because legally they need to buy a license if they want to explore for gold in a certain area. But most people don't really have that.
Belku believes the key to slowing the use of mercury in gold processing is to build more water processing plants like Borner. And to date, two others have been built. But he says the government has cold feet about investing in more.
They think that if they build more non-mercury processing plants, then there will be more ninja miners. But they still don't understand what we are trying to do. Because if we have more non-mercury processing plants, then there will be more people coming here and not using mercury and not poisoning themselves.
Salim Ali says there's another reason the Mongolian government doesn't want to encourage small-scale mining.
The government's main concern is that it's very hard to capture taxes and any kind of revenues from these ninja miners. And so if you encourage that activity, you are basically reducing the chances of citizenry giving tax revenues to the government.
At the gold mine east of the Borner plant, lead artisanal miner Dambi Surinjav Tovchinamjargal says around 130 miners work in this area in co-ops of 4 to 8 people. Each co-op digs one mine shaft at a time, bracing the entrance with wood for the first few feet down. Then they use a pulley system to slowly remove buckets of rock from below. Sometimes they find gold 30 to 60 feet down. Sometimes they find nothing.
Usually 3 people are working in the hole, but if it's a deep hole, then there will be more people.
He says they often zigzag their way down to depths of 100 feet or more. And when they see gold stripes, they follow them. Tovchinamjargal says he knows ninja miners who've used mercury to extract gold, but he's never done it himself. He's glad he's part of an artisanal mining cooperative with access to the Borner plant. But he admits gold mining as a whole isn't easy. It's hard work year-round, even during Mongolia's harsh winters. But he says when they do strike gold, it's worth it.
Sometimes for maybe 2 months out of the year, we don't get anything from here. But whenever we get gold, we actually make decent money.
For many Mongolians living in remote parts of the country, mining has become the only way to make a living. Salim Ali again.
You know, this is a country which has enormous mineral reserves and they don't have much else. You know, the climate is extreme. And so the tourism season is very limited. There is some industry around textiles from the wool and cashmere and so on. But there is not the kind of large agricultural development which is possible.
Ali says that in a strange way, responsible growth in the mining industry could actually help reduce pollution in the capital of Ulaanbaatar, or UB.
If you are able to develop economies in these remote areas where the mining is occurring, you could prevent this rural-urban migration flow, which has become an enormous pressure on the capital.
He's referring to the large numbers of nomadic families who are abandoning herding on Mongolia's steppe due to increasingly harsh winters and desertification. Many end up living in crowded communities on the outskirts of the capital. During UB's harsh winters, they burn coal to stay warm, which contributes to worse air pollution than in other notoriously polluted megacities like Beijing and Mumbai. If rural Mongolians could stay put in well-regulated mining communities, it could actually be an environmental win, he says.
The mineral resources could be a transformative contribution to economic development in Mongolia, but they need to be managed very carefully.
Back at the gold mine, Belku joins the miners for tea inside a nearby ger, or yurt. He says he's happy his water processing plant is helping artisanal gold miners like these process their gold in an environmentally friendly way. But with only 3 water processing plants in the country, many small-scale gold miners are faced with a difficult choice.
Of course, they all know it is poisonous. It is harmful for their health, not only for their health, but also ecologically. But if they don't use mercury, then they can't get their gold out of the ore.
He says it's up to the government to step up and provide cleaner options for small-scale gold miners, options that prioritize Mongolia's environment.
My hope is to help the small miners or small mining companies to operate well so the government will support us. That's my hope.
For DW, I'm Ann Bailey in Bornor, Mongolia.
DW.